In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I give you a command in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, the one who will judge the living and the dead, and by his coming into his kingdom. Preach the good news. Be ready at all times. Tell people what they need to do. Tell them when they're wrong. Encourage them with great patience and careful teaching. Because the time will come when people will not listen to the truth teaching, but will find many more teachers who will please them by saying the things that they want to hear. They will stop listening to the truth and will begin to follow the false stories. But you should control yourself at all times. Accept trouble. Do the work of telling the good news and the complete duty of the servant of God. And Paul says, for my life is being given as an offering unto God. And the time has come for me to leave this life. But I have fought a good fight, and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and now there is a crown which is being held for me. A crown for being right with God. The Lord, the judge, who shall judge rightly, and will give the crown to me on that day. But not only me, but to all those who have waited with love for him to come again. Father, your word for your people honored in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm reminded of a few small stories that leads us into the message today. A very familiar picture, if you would call it that, of a young girl standing on a bed. I don't know why, but young people like to romp the beds. I probably did the same thing, and your children did this very same thing. And then her father walks into the room, and he says to the daughter, jump, honey, and I'll catch you. Well, the little girl looks at her daddy and said, Daddy, will you really catch me? And he says, sure, honey, you jump, I'll catch you. I'm reminded of another story of a man who was going to parachute from a plane. And when he got to the door of the plane, someone said, what will happen if the chute don't open? And then he turned to that person and he said, I have all the confidence that the chute is going to open. Another relating story of a dying person. An elderly person is dying. She calls for the pastor, and the pastor comes to her side. And the pastor begins to comfort her by telling her, hey, it's going to be all right. Everything is going to be taken care of. I know that you're dying, and you know that you're dying. But she said, preacher, can I really trust God? Because when I'm changing worlds, I've got to know that God is there. Can I depend upon that? And the preacher said, you can trust God. Let's go to a dirty dungeon. Let's go into a filthy prison. Let's walk into the corners of the prison. And let's walk over to a dying, crumbling person. This person has been tormented and tortured like no other man. Living on bread and water. Treated like no more than a mangy dog. Let's say to this man, sir, do you have family? Oh, he said, no personal family, but I do have a lot of friends. Well, sir, do you own any property? He said, no, sir, I don't own anything. The only thing I own is the coat that's on my back. And he said, yes, but sir, are you worth anything? Well, he said, no, not really. I haven't accomplished too much silver and gold in this life. And then the man says to this poor prisoner, then what do you have? And then he puts his hand forth, and he's got his fist closed just about as tight as could be. And the man looks at him, and he says, sir, everything I have is in my hand. And the man says, well, would you open the hand? And then all of a sudden, Benny, he opens his hand. And the man looks into his hand to see nothing. And he says to him, sir, you have no family. You have no property. You have no money, and now you stretch forth a hand that has nothing. And then all of a sudden, this great man of God spoke. He said, "Sir, I have something the eye cannot see. I have something the human world cannot see." And then he begins to quote this scripture. "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Amen. And sir, in my hand, I hold the keys to the kingdom of God. Because it's by grace that you're saved through faith." And you know, Christian, we sometimes don't realize what the key that we really have. You remember that Jesus said to Peter, "I will build a church. And upon this church, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then he gave them the keys to unlock into the kingdom of God. What did he give them? He gave them the keys to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to receive God. And the Apostle Paul said, "I have more in my hands than the world can see." Hey, I love the song, "I'm living by faith. In Jesus alone, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love." But you see, the world can't see that. As a matter of fact, the world thinks you're crazy. The world thinks your elevator will go clear to the top. But sir, you are a journeyer of faith. We journey by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We sing by faith. We give by faith. We pray by faith, because we are the children of faith. Because without it, it's impossible to please God. So you see, Paul had something that the world could not see. And you know, you have something today that the world cannot see. No, because Paul realized that our life does not consist of what things that we own. Our life is not consisted of the automobile and the camper and all these things that we have sitting in the driveway. If life only consists of that, sir, then you're miserable. Because the Bible said, "In this life only you have hope, you are most men miserable." We cannot launch our soul upon the things of the material possessions that we have. You see, these are only things that God has allowed you to use. I call them the privileges of God. God gives us those privileges. But you know, when you stop to think about it, how many people have sold their soul for their personal value? No wonder that Jesus said, "What would a man give in exchange for his soul?" And sir, today the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The greatest weapon you have against the devil is to have your faith. Because you see, your faith is what's going to take you to heaven. Your faith is what is going to keep you in constant contact with God. It's your faith, and that's the only thing that you can have that God recognizes. And you know, today we need faith. We need something the world cannot see. We need ambition. We need a drive. We need to let go and let God, let our faith project to God. We're living by faith. We're walking by faith. We are God's faith examples. When people see you, they ought to see your faith. I was talking with Benny the other day, and true enough, I pick his mind just like he picks mine. I said, Benny, we looked at the old tin. It's getting frail. And he has fought me off like a mad dog. I told him, I said, "Let's lay it before the people. Let's buy a new tent." And he says, "I think that this one will last just a little while longer." And then I probed just a little bit farther. And I said, "Hey, Benny, how long are you planning on having these tent revivals?" And Benny said, "Until I die." Hey, I like that. Because you see, it's faith. By grace, you're saved through faith. And it takes a lot of faith to set this old tent. It takes a lot of faith to come out here and set up the poles and put the old canvas up and begin to try to do what Benny has done. Feed all of these people. Bring all of these preachers in here. And not only that, but pay them a great salary and then expect people to come. But yet if one person can only find faith in God, then all of that is worth every nickel and every dime that's paid. Give God a big hand for that. You see, we as children of God, we see things that the world cannot see. One of the greatest things today that Paul challenges you and I with is keep the faith. Because today, people are wavering. People are turning to the right. People are turning to the left. But the Bible said in the last days, perilous times would come. And you know, preacher, please don't tell them that God has made it that way. I've heard preachers say, well, you know, God said that in the last days, perilous times would come, that men would be lovers of themselves. Hey, that's homosexuals. And then, after all, they would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the gays and the AIDS victims. That's all of that. No, that's not what it's all about. In the last days, perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemer, and content. And today we say, well, that's just happening. That's our problem today. That is what's happening. No wonder that we're falling into lethargy. No wonder that we're falling into an apostate stage. It's because men have become lovers of their own self. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. That's the reason the world is getting bad. It isn't because God made it that way. It's because that we are getting that away. The Bible said in the last days they would not contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. That's why I shouted last night on the song that Betty and them sang. The old-fashioned preacher. I mean the one who believes in the blood of Jesus Christ. The one who believes that sin is dirty and contaminated and people will spend eternity in hell without God. I like that kind of a message myself. A fellow said the other day, he said, oh, you preach on sin. I said, well, that's a good sermon. That's a good title to use. Our preacher, she said, has lost the vision of sin. And today, we no longer know what sin is. We do not see the contamination. We do not see the threat of sin like it was in the old days. Men and women preached according to the glory of God. They preached the blood of Jesus Christ, which has power to cleanse from all sin. He didn't say, just get into the church and keep on sinning. He said, but we would be delivered from the power of sin. And today, even church members are not contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. I like the old way. I like the old way. The Bible said, search out the old paths and walk therein. And today, I don't know about you, but I'm like old Les Payton. I'm glad I'm one of them. I'm glad that one day I sold out to an altar of prayer. I thank God that I knelt at an old-fashioned, was a tent like this. I came to an old-fashioned altar. I knelt on my knees. And I had one on this side hollering, turn loose. Had one on this side hollering, hang on. I didn't know exactly what to do, so I just pled the blood of Jesus Christ. I was dumb enough to believe He said if I would confess it, that He would forgive it. And brother, guess what? I confessed it and He forgave it. And brother, when the blood of Jesus Christ was applied, guess what? I got up, I walked away a brand new person. I walked away singing the song, Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. I believe in a changing experience with God. I believe that something came in that I had never had. I had no faith in nothing. I had no confidence in nothing. But now all of a sudden I'm like the Apostle Paul. Everything I have is right here in my hand. Hey folks, you may not know how important that faith really is. But there's going to come a time that you're going to need that faith. I went to do a revival. I introduced Benny to Delmer Steelwell last night. I've been Delmer Steelwell's evangelist 7 years. I was his previous pastor's evangelist for nigh on 12 years. Every year, October, we went. It was always on Martha's birthday. And you know how I had to get through that dilemma. And then one day they decide, well, we're going to cook for Martha since it's her birthday and you're giving us revival. And Martha come down with the flu and we couldn't even go then. But let me tell you what happened to me. I was scheduled to go there for a revival. Well, I ended up in the hospital with a heart problem. And ended up in Roanoke, Virginia with some putting in some stents and everything. But I had been going so long. And you know how it is when you've been going there so long, you got friends and loved ones and people you love. And believe you me, I've got a beautiful picture of Junior and Gloria and her mother sitting right back there, Benny. And you ought to see it. It is beautiful. When I preached here in the afternoon, they came. But anyhow, I went to be their evangelist. The doctor told me, no, you need to get in here. Let's get in there and find out what's going on. I postponed it because I felt I needed to go to that revival. I went, I told Delmer, I said, Delmer, I don't know whether to preach or not. And Junior said, don't worry, Tommy, you preach. You get beside yourself, I'm going to stop you. I said, okay, Junior, you do that. I preached a sermon. I preached on, I have kept the faith. Little did I know that night, I mean, God anointed like I'd never been anointed before. I spoke about the perils of earth and I spoke about the journey to heaven. I talked about how that one day we're going to lay this old robe of flesh aside. That one of these days we're going to take off this old earthly tabernacle and we're going to be clothed with the robe of righteousness and we're going to march into heaven as the great armies of God. And I said the only way we're going to do it is to put on the robe of faith and, brother, the helmet of salvation. Because when we come down to the moment to die, that's all that's going to count. Honey, you can't take your Cadillac to heaven. You can't take your furniture to heaven. You can't take your bank account to heaven. The only way when you go to heaven, honey, if somebody don't take you a birthday suit down to the funeral home, they're going to bury you in your birthday suit. You ain't going to have anything. They're going to lay you there with nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. Let me shake my shouting foot on this one. Brother, when we lay down our time to die, Benny, and we begin to change worlds, I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. I ain't got a lot to leave here behind. And you're welcome to everything I got. I don't care what it is, you can have it. And if you can't have it, Martha, put it in a yard sale because I'm not going to need it and you're going to need it. I've done told the undertakers. I said, hey, fellas, don't you think you're going to get my body? I want Martha to auction my body off to you. And the one that pays the most is the one that's going to get my body because I'm going to have a whole lot of viewers. Come on, amen. A lot of people are going to simply come to see if I'm dead and gone. Come on, amen. What did Billy say when he stood over your daddy's grave? Over the casket, rather. He looked down and he said, uh-huh. He said, now it's the argument is over. And we said, Billy, what are you talking about? And Billy was living then, wasn't he? Am I right? Okay, so Billy said, the argument's over. And Bonnie, here's what he said. He said, B.R. Lincoln and Harry R. Payton always had an argument of which one was going to have the biggest wake. And then Billy turned around and looked at him and said, I believe Daddy won. And old B.R. Lincoln looked at him in heaven and said, hey, Harry, you won. Hey, I got news for you. I'm not going to a hole in the ground. I'm going to a hole in the sky. Yeah. Don't you come and cry over me. Don't you sling no, I'm not going to say that dirty, filthy word. But I've got news for you, honey. If I ain't got anything, look in my hand. I'm going to have a handful of faith. I'm going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Give him a big hand for that. That's our trouble today. We don't take advantage of our faith. Hey, let's go into the lion's den with Daniel. Let's walk in there with old Daniel. And old Daniel, brother, he didn't see nothing. He didn't see the lions. Come on, amen. I feel like preaching to you. And I've got my eye on the clock. Don't get me wrong. I got a homecoming to go to yet. But honey, when he walked in the lion's den, he didn't see the lions. That's our trouble today. We see everything all around us. We're like old Peter. We get out of the boat sometime, then we go to looking around. But honey, there's going to come a time you've got to walk by faith and not by sight. And old Peter got on the water and began to walk to Jesus. But that's our trouble. We look to the left and we look to the right. And we get our eyes upon the natural things of life. We got to get our eyes upon Jesus because that's the only safety we have. Amen. He didn't see the lions.
Yeah.
That's our trouble. The lion roars and we run. But the Bible said the wicked run when no man will pursue. I don't know about you, but the devil can't have my beans and I might preach on that one of these days. That's our trouble today. He has roared in the path. He's thrown lions in our way. And old Daniel said, I'll tell you what I'm going to have, Mr. Lions, if you don't care. I'm going to teach you the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And brother, the Bible said he prayed and prayed. And guess what? The 100 lions even ceased their hunger. You see, that's what faith will do for you. Go with me to the fiery furnace. 3 Hebrew children are cast into a fiery furnace. The old king said, we're going to make the fire 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Go with me down there with the 3 Hebrew children. The old king had threatened and said, we're going to burn you alive. Oh, the 3 Hebrew children said, hey, we may burn, but we ain't going to bow. I like that, boy. Why? Because I got a handful of faith. That's why. I got enough faith in a God that's able to deliver me. You may throw me to the fiery furnace. You may throw me to the hungry lion, but my God will prevail. Hey, I said on my broadcast, and I mean it. If God be for me, who in this world can be against me? He's turned the mouths of the hungry lion. He quenched the fire of the 3 Hebrew children. And now this great man of God is getting ready to change worlds. Though I walked down through the valley of the shadow of death, I walked in the room the other day. I believe in a supernatural God. I believe in supernatural acts. A lady says to me, she's dying with cancer. And she said, preacher, she said, is it real? Is it true that God allows the saints of God to get a glimpse of heaven when death comes? Biddy, I think so. I think so. I said, well, I've often wondered why they die with a smile on their face. And maybe that's the reason. Have you ever seen an old saint of God? Death's coming. The grim reaper is there. And the sickle is just about ready to put to my soul. And they got a big old smile on their face. I walked over and Geraldine reached up off her dying bed. And Richard got me around the neck. Benny has said, Tommy, I'm getting ready to change worlds. Hey, she was happy about it, Burl. I mean, she was excited about it. I said, well, Geraldine, you sound excited. She said, honey, I've been waiting a long time for this. This is something I've been looking for a long time. And now God's going to honor me and God's going to privilege me. She said, Tommy, let me tell you what's going to happen. She said, the angels are going to fold back their wings. And she said, I'm going to strut up the streets of gold like I've never strutted before. And she said, when you get there, look for me because I'll already be there. I was thinking of all these saints of God that had been in the same place the Apostle Paul had. But they said, I have kept the faith. I am now ready to die. And there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And then he happened to think about me. He happened to think about you, Benny, in this old camp meeting. And he said, and also for you. Are you excited about it? Have you got any faith? Paul changed worlds that day. My daddy, I get excited. I got a right to get excited. I got more than this old world ever give me. I didn't have nothing but a big head and a bad taste in my mouth when I lived for the devil. But now I got a clear mind. And ain't nothing tastes bad when I get up on Sunday morning. But my daddy, God bless his heart. My daddy, I watched him as he was dying. And my daddy said, he looked at the foot of my bed. I'll remember this, didn't know my dad like I like to have known him. I looked at my dad and he's laying there, his eyes are glassy. I could see death was coming over him. Saw this picture many times. And my dad said, Emery, that's my given name. He said, where are you? I said, Dad, I'm standing right here at the foot of the bed. We knew what was happening. He turned to my sister and said, Eleanor, where are you at? And she said, Daddy, I'm standing right here. He said, I can't see you. He turned to my mother and he said, Hetty, which is my mother's name, and said, Hetty, where are you at? I can't see you. And then all of a sudden he said, Emery, I can see you now. A big smile come over his face. His countenance changed. He was more beautiful than I'd ever remembered him. Hey, he's changing worlds. I knew it. But there's no fear. And then he turned to my sister and said, Eleanor, I see you. He looked at my mother and said, Hetty, I now see you. And then, folks, he looked at that glimpse into heaven. And said, now I'm going home to see my Lord.